Yeah, we are discussing the five namas of Lalita Sahasranama from the 336th nama till the 314th nama. So before we start learning the nama, so we have to always remember while learning Lalita Sahasranama that the Devi who is being praised in Lalita Sahasranama is the same as Brahman or Ishvara, as praised in the Upanishads as well as various Puranas. So it is that Ishvara who alone is present here. So whatever we see around us, the duality that we see around us, that is just a creation by Ishvara in Ishvara. Paramatma Dvayananda Purna Purvam Swamaya Swayameva Jagadbhutva Pravishad Jiva Rupataha. So Vidyaranya says that Paramatma, the Supreme Self, Ishvara, Advaya Anandaha, Advayam, He is non-dual Anandam. So before creation, Ishvara alone was there. So the when creation was not there, before creation, there was only Ishvara. Anandam Advayam. Advayam means non-dual, but he only was there. And since he was alone there, there is no scope for Dukkam. So Anandam, the concept of Anandam is very simple. Anandam is that which is infinite. So infinite is that which is non-dual, which alone is there. So wherever Bhedam comes in into picture or Dvaitam comes, Dukkam automatically comes there. So if only we could see everything as Ishvara, then there will be no Dukkam at all. It's only when we see things different. So a person starts telling, oh, I don't like Coke, I like Pepsi. Pepsi has more soda in it, therefore I like Pepsi. Of course, my personal view is different. It's like exactly the opposite, that's a different thing. So I like Pepsi better because it has more soda. If only there was no Pepsi and Coke, if there was just one soda company, then there will be no such discrimination. And this discrimination between Coke and Pepsi, it's not discrimination, it's just the Bhedam or duality, differentiation between both. Since both are there, that causes more trouble. Add to it the other varieties, Mirinda, this, that, everything, Sprite. So add all these, then problems start. Oh, we'll say, I like this, I don't like that. So I like this immediately comes into picture when we have duality. When we have two things, obviously we will love one. Well, I like Sony laptop. They're lightweight. Dell is a bit heavy. So I don't like it. So immediately when two is there, we get attached to one, we get averted to other. And this means that if we don't get what we are attached to, we'll become sad. Of course, if we get what we are averted to, still we become sad. So happiness and sorrow come into picture when there is this duality. So Bhedam or duality causes likes and dislikes, which in turn causes attachment, aversion, which in turn causes happiness and sorrow. Happiness means limited temporary happiness, and which will finally lead to only sorrow. That temporary happiness itself will become a sorrow. Oh, I was with Amma last year. So that happiness that we got when we were with Amma, that itself becomes a source of Dukkam. When we brood over it, oh, this year I cannot meet Amma. Last year I met. So thinking about last year's meeting with Amma, the happiness that we got from the meeting with Amma last year, we become sad now. So even were anything like, or wherever there is duality, there is obviously, there will be only sorrow there, Dukkam. Whereas when duality is not there, all these problems are not there, all these faults are not there, therefore a person will be ever blissful. So bliss will be there. So Advaya Anandaha, Paramatma, the Supreme Self is Anandam in nature because He alone was there. Purnaha, Purnaha, he was complete. Because if there is nothing else, then how can he be not complete? When there is duality, of course, one becomes incomplete to an extent, another becomes incomplete to another extent. That's how it happens. So women think they are complete, men think they are complete. Both say, oh, you are not complete in this aspect, you don't have long hair. So men will say, oh, you don't have height. Oh, like we have height, we wear high heels. Of course, you wear high heels, we can also wear wig. So the argument will start. So wherever there is duality, there will be incompleteness. But Paramatma, the Supreme Self, Ishvara, was one alone. Therefore, there was no Dvaitam. He was Purnam. Apurnata was not there. Purvam, before creation, he was like this. And by his own Maya, he created the entire world out of himself, and he himself became Jiva in the world. He became the light in the world. So that is why it is said that the entire world, or it is always said that the entire world is Ishvara, because this world came out of Ishvara, the world resides in Ishvara, the world will merge onto Ishvara, then what is it other than Ishvara? Of course, it has to be Ishvara. It's like telling that mud pot. So mud was there before the pot. Mud is there when the pot is there. When the pot is broken, it merges onto mud. Which means the pot is just an illusion. There is always there is only mud. So that is the concept that that is being praised. That concept, that non-dual reality, is being praised in Lalita Sahasranama as Devi. There are many namas that we have already discussed. Nama Rupa Vivarjita. So there are many namas that speak about Devi as that Advitiya Satyam. So Nirguna, Nirakara. So all those, like, there are many namas that speak about Devi as Nirguna Brahman or Ishvara in the Upanishads. So any minute we forget that while learning or chanting Lalita Sahasranama, we will not reap the full benefit out of Lalita Sahasranama. Of course, any person who chants Lalita Sahasranama, knowingly or unknowingly, he chants Omkara, therefore he will get some benefit. But if we understand as to who Devi is and then chant Lalita Sahasranama, the fruit will be, or the outcome will be more. So it's like, I can cook rasam, but I'm not really into it. I just cook somehow, that's it. I don't know the essence. I don't know why we put all this. I don't know how much sugar we put, like how much salt we put. I don't know why we put so much salt, why we use this. So if that is the case, it may temporarily be enough, but someday when somebody comes and asks us, okay, why are you putting so much salt? Why are you putting this? We'll have no answer. Instead, if we know, then even while doing it, we will have a sense of satisfaction. Oh, you want to know? Like, I'll tell you, this is why. Like, if you add this much salt, you'll get a real sweet taste. If you add a little bit more, then you will not get a sweet taste, but you'll get a salty taste. If you add less, still it will not be enough. So whenever we are chanting Lalita Sahasranama, we have to always remember that Devi is that Ishvara who pervades the entire world. Devi creates the entire world. Devi becomes the entire world. Devi is the entire world, which means Devi alone exists here. Which also means Devi is our own self. So Devi is our own self. There is no doubt in that. So there are many namas that speak about Devi as one's own self as well. Brahmatmaikya Swarupini. So Devi is Brahma, Atma, Ikya, Rupini or Swarupini. So Devi is of the nature of Brahman and Atman, oneness of Brahman and Atman, oneness of the Supreme Self, oneness of this limited self, I in each of us. So Devi is all pervasive. So remember, we have to always remember this, that Devi is all pervasive. Devi is the entire world. Devi created the world. Devi is the world. Devi alone exists here. So if we remember this, then Lalita Sahasranama, we don't need to learn the thousand names. Of course, if we learn, it is good, because it will help us. It's like 100,000 times repeating the same concept, remembering Ishvara. That's more helpful, but it's not essential. But if we may learn the 1,000 names of Lalita Sahasranama, but still, and we may chant it, we may know it by heart, but unless we know that the Devi praised here is that Ishvara who pervades the entire world, it will not be of much use to us. It will be enough temporarily, but it will not give us eternal bliss. Anandam we will not get by doing that. So let's remember that Devi being praised in Lalita Sahasranama is the all-pervasive Devi. It is the non-dual reality who alone exists here. So the first nama of the day is Om Vindhyachala Nivasinyai Namaha. Vindhyachala Nivasini. So Vindhyachala Nivasini. The nama is simple. So Vindhya is a parvatam. So Vindhya parvatam. So Vindhyachala Nivasini. One who resides in the Achalam. Achalam means like that which is immovable, which is the meaning is Chalam means that which moves. Achalam means that which is stable, steady. So mountain. So Vindhya mountain. One who resides in the Vindhya mountain. One who lives in the Vindhya mountain. Of course, as we know, each of this nama has a deeper meaning as well. We can just learn the peripheral meaning or the apparent meaning and then just ignore the deeper significance. But if we really need eternal bliss, if we need to be a Devi follower, a Devi Bhakta, if we need to attain Devi, that is the purpose of a person like who is learning Lalita Sahasranama. The purpose is to become one with Devi. So the realized Devi, realization of Devi can happen only when we relate each of these namas with Devi as such, not Devi as residing in a mountain. Devi residing in a mountain, that is fine, but there should be some deeper import, because any scriptural work, any Mahatma, so Hayagriva, the sage who is instructing this to Agastya, so he was a great person, so he wouldn't have taught Agastya something like which is worldly. So if it is something worldly, then we have many other things. So he would have said to Agastya, like if he says to Agastya that I am going to give you a Devi, I am going to speak about Devi, then each of the namas has to speak about Devi, Devi's external form as well as the real nature of Devi. So what does this nama mean? So Devi resides in the Vindhya mountain. So mountain is something which is very stable. So Devi is obviously very stable. So if we look at Amma, Amma is very stable. So of course not externally. So once Amrita Swarupananda made a very bold statement. So he said once when he was speaking in Vallikavu, he said, Amma is Nishchala. So there is a nama in Lalita Sahasranama as well. Nishchala. Nishchala is the same as Achala. So nishchala means without any movement. So he said, and then as is his style, he just paused for a couple of minutes. People were all thinking, oh, how was, what is Amrita Swarupananda telling? Is he mad? So has he become a matta now? Has he become a real devotee that he became mad? So people started thinking all those. Then he said, why is Amma nishchalam? Because though Amma is doing all these actions, she is in fact unaffected by these actions. She is just a sakshi. So everything happens in her, but she is just a sakshi. These don't affect her. It's like the dreamer. The dreamer, he's in the dream world, he does a lot of things, but still he's not doing anything at all. And of course, can Amma move? Amma cannot move. How can Amma move? If somebody says Amma moves, then he is a like mad person. We have to call him a matta, because who is Amma? Amma is Devi. Who is Devi? Devi is the person who pervades the entire world. If Devi is pervading the entire world, Sarva Vyapini. So Vyapinye Namaha. So Devi is Vyapini. Devi pervades the entire world. That which is present everywhere, how can it move? So movement is possible only for objects which are limited in space. So I can move this laptop, I can move the book, I can move my leg. Because all those are limited in space, can I move space? Of course, no. How can you move space? Space is all pervasive, so how can you move? So Devi is the source of space. Space itself is like cannot move. Devi is the source of space, so how can Devi move? So Ma is Nishchala because she pervades the entire world. So the two meaning we can take, one is all pervasive nature, movement is impossible, and the second is the external movements are just illusions. Amma internally ever is in bliss. So externally, so Shankara also uses this analogy or this contradicting nature. We have to understand the nature or like this contradiction in a Mahatma. Externally, he does actions like any other person, he does actions, but internally, he is stable like the mountain, ever blissful. That blissful state, we cannot move such a Mahatma from that blissful state. So if we go and ask Amma, like the one thing that Amma cannot give us, Amma can even give us moksha. The one thing that Amma cannot give us is, Amma, can you become really sad? If you can try it out, like when we meet Amma in Michigan, you can try it out asking Amma, Amma, can you become sad? This is your devotee's desire. Okay, of course, Amma is a great actor, so Amma will cry externally. And then like after that, what will happen is Bhavani or other people will come and tell, oh, this person is making Amma cry, so let's make her cry, her or him cry. So that is how it will become. So Amma cannot move from bliss. Amma cannot move at all. So it's like this contradiction is there in worldly things as well. So the ocean is the perfect example for that. At the peripheral of the ocean, like we see a lot of movements, waves. Waves like are really great movements. But if we go deeper into the ocean, it is steady. The movement is very, the water is very still. So externally, a Mahatma may be doing actions, but internally he is like the mountain. The mountain cannot move. Similarly, such a Mahatma cannot move. So Vindhyachala Nivasini means one who is residing in Vindhyachalam, which means one's inner nature is like the mountain. So the mountain means it has two meanings. One is they cannot move from Anandam, and second is they are all pervasive. Such a Devi there who is praised here is all pervasive. That means Devi cannot move at all. There is no place, there is no space where Devi is not there, and therefore movement is impossible for Devi. The next nama is Om Vidhatriyai Namaha. So movementless, but still movementless. The mountain is movementless, but still the mountain supports life. Oh, does mountain support life? Of course, mountain is what keeps earth. The earth is stable because of the weight of the mountain. Of course, don't start asking, okay, earth is round, how can it support mountain? Mountain will fall. Okay, then we should probably have a session, have a physics session with Rajesh, who will explain all those concepts, gravitational force, this force, that force. So we will not go into all those. So Vidhatri means Devi is the protector or supporter of everything. Of course, this entire world was created by Devi. Therefore, Devi protects us. Devi is the one who is always protecting it. So, protecting it or supporting it or bearing it. So, that also has a normal meaning. The normal meaning is protecting. But the deeper meaning is this entire world is Devi. That means Devi is the essence of the entire world, which means the entire world is protected by Devi. So Devi is the substratum of the entire world. Devi is the essence of the entire world. The essence is that which supports other things. So the essence, essential things are the supporting things. So we also say that when we say air is essential. So what do we mean air is essential? It means that air supports us. That is what's the meaning. Of course, the words are really tricky. So usage of words can be really tricky and confusing. So we never say air supports us. We just say that air is essential. So it means the same thing. So here Vidhatri, Devi is the supporter of everything, means Devi is the substratum. Devi is the essence of everything. So that is the meaning here. And of course, Devi is the essence of everything. Therefore, knowledge comes out of Devi. Om Veda Janani Namaha. Veda Janani. Devi is the Veda Mata. Devi is the creator of Vedas. So Vedas, normal meaning of Vedas is the scriptures. And we can also say as knowledge. So all knowledge that we see, எல்லாரிவின்னும் அறிவாயோர் அறிவும் அம்மா. So that Amma, who is the basis of all knowledge, so we learned in Gita as to that knowledge which can fulfill us completely, after which we don't need to know anything. So all knowledge that we see is Devi alone. So all knowledge means all consciousness, also we can say light, everything is Devi. So that's one meaning that we can take here, that Devi is the basis for all knowledge. Another meaning is that how does Devi support the entire world? Devi supports the world. Devi is the essence, but she supports the world by creating or giving the laws of the world. Devi is giving the laws of the world. How does she give the laws of the world? In the Vedas. So the Vedas have worldly laws. Astronomy, all those are there in the Vedas, as well as the laws or rules for liberation also is there. So everything is there in the Vedas. So the Vedas are like, Devi is the creator of the Vedas. Devi gives the Vedas to the world, one, for the world to survive, and two, for a person to go beyond the world. So whichever meaning we take, it's fine. Like Devi is the person who gives the Vedas. Of course, if everything has come from Devi, Vedas also are an entity. It's like an object. So Vedas are also like objects in the world, part of the world. Rules of or laws of the world are all also like objects of the world. So Vedas are also part of the world. Devi has to be the creator of the Vedas, because Devi is the creator of the world. And Om Vishnu Mayai Namaha. So Devi gave the Vedas to the entire world. The Vedas have worldly laws and laws for going beyond the world as well. But Devi is also Vishnu Maya. So Devi is Vishnu Maya, means Maya. So Vishnu, the word Vishnu means all pervasive. Devi is that Maya which is there in the entire world. Oh, how can like Maya also be there in the entire world and Devi also be there in the entire world? Of course, Devi is the essence of the world. Therefore, she pervades the world. Maya is the world. So the world is Maya. The world is the effect of Maya. So that's the difference. The world is Maya. The world is essentially Devi. So Vishnu Maya, though the Vedas have been given to us, but this entire world is pervaded by Maya. The entire world is Maya. Therefore, often we get deluded by Maya. Maya deludes us. So if we shouldn't get deluded by Maya, as we learned in Gita, so the simple or the easy way to not get deluded by Maya is seeking Devi. So anytime we remember Devi as pervading the entire world, as the essence of the world, immediately Maya vanishes. Of course, Maya has to vanish. What is Maya? The world. What is the world? Duality. What is Devi? Essence of the world. What is the essence of the world? Non-duality. Any moment we think about non-duality, duality has to vanish. Any moment we think about Devi, who is the essence of the world vanishes. If we think about the essence, the object has to vanish. If we think about the object, essence will vanish. So Vishnu Maya, the easy way to go beyond Maya, beyond Dukkham, is seeking Devi, remembering Devi. It's very simple as well. So it's very simple. Remembering Devi is as simple as just like having Devi in our thought. Whenever we chant any nama, immediately telling, oh, Devi, Devi is the entire world. Devi alone is present here. Devi is the essence of the world. Devi is the world, yes. Of course, Devi is essentially the world. Devi is the world. Both mean the same thing. Technically, we can say Devi is essentially the world. Some people like Paramartha would like to use technical words. Oh, technically, Devi, the world is Devi. That is technically wrong. Okay, fine. Whichever way we can understand, well and good. There's no duality. The duality is only an illusion. Devi alone is there. If we can understand or remember that in any way, that is fine. Like any way, oh, I can remember that everything is Devi. If I remember the movie Matrix, if I remember Keanu Reeves in Matrix, I can remember. Well and good. If I remember Trinity, I can remember. That's also good. Whichever way we can remember it, remember that everything, there is only Devi here, everything is Devi. Well and good. Such a person will go beyond Maya. Such a person will not have any dukkham at all. So that is the meaning here. The last nama of the day is Om Vilasinyai Namaha. So Vilasini. So Devi creates the entire world. That itself means that Devi is a player. So Vilasini means who plays. So place means this entire world is considered Lokavattu Tat Leela Kaivalyam. This entire world is a play of Devi. Of course, that is why, like, if we ask Amrutha Swarupananda, he'll say, Oh, Ellam Ellam Ammayude Leelayanu. They'll say, like, if you ask Purnamrutha, he'll say it very beautifully and sweetly. He'll say, Ellam Ammayude Kali. That means, like, everything is a play of Amma. So that's what they'll say. And we can see it as well. Whatever happens in the world is just a play of Amma. We can see that very clearly. So everything is a play. What is the characteristics of a play? A play is something which is, of course, even if we consider it as the drama play or the normal play, play is something that is not real. So whenever we play, why do we play? Do we play like, will we play like whatever happens in the movie Saw? We won't play like that because that's no longer a play. So play is something like which is which doesn't have any reality or which doesn't really affect us. So play, Devi plays, this entire world is Devi's play means it's not real, it's just an illusion. So any minute we surrender onto Devi, then Devi will say, okay, like you are, I like you very much because you are so devoted to me, so I like you, so I'll take you beyond this play. So often that happens, like we go to a magic show, the magician deludes everyone, and then like he finds one beautiful girl, he gets attracted to her, and he says, okay, like I won't delude you because I like you, so I won't delude you. Other way, the woman says, okay, please don't delude me and make me mad, therefore please don't delude me. The magician will say, okay, fine, I'll not delude you. You are in the like you are excluded from this magic. Similarly, the moment we surrender on to Devi, we will just be a witness to Devi's play. So it's like sitting on Devi's lap. So we'll be a child like who is sitting on Devi's lap and enjoying the play. So the play will become really beautiful. So as long as we consider we are part of the play, the essence of the play vanishes. The play is meant to just give us temporary bliss. That's it. It's nothing else. It's just fun time. It's just time pass. That's it. But when, like, that's why we say, oh, like we make fun of others. We pull pranks out of others. So we do all those. Like we'll put banana peels on the floor, and when somebody slips, we'll laugh. But when we fall, it never is a play. So in one of the retreat programs, there were a few young girls like who were laughing out aloud, like when Amrutha Swarupananda missed one of the nama. So that's a play for them because they are not the person chanting and missing it. If they do that, everything will vanish. If somebody says, oh, there is a lizard on your hair, that's it, gone. Everything will vanish immediately. Immediately it will stop becoming at play. Oh, I was just joking, but still you'll get a slap. It's for sure. Of course, you'll first get a slap, and when you say it's a play, you'll get another one. It's a bonus one. So that is what would happen. So we have to remember that anytime we are out of the play, then the play becomes really beautiful. So we love movies, like many of the movies, even The Pursuit of Happiness. Many people like it. They like it as long as they are not Will Smith. If they are Will Smith, they become Will Smith, then they'll not like it. Then it is no longer a play. So Vilasini, any minute we know that Devi is a play, we are like, Devi is playing and we are sitting on the lap of Devi. It's also a fun time there. It's like Devi is challenging Garry Kasparov into a chess play. And then like we are saying, oh, I cannot play this, but I'll sit in your lap and play. So it's fun because I don't have anything to lose. If Devi loses, why do I care? I don't care at all. Of course, this is just a joke. Devi cannot lose because Devi is real. So Devi controls the entire play. So any minute we remember that Devi is all-pervasive, Devi is the truth, Devi is the non-dual reality, immediately we become one with Devi. Oh, I cannot become one with Devi. How can I consider myself as one with Amma? Okay, no problem. Consider that you are a child of Amma sitting in Amma's lap. Of course, when you sit on Amma's lap, there is no difference at all. So that will come later. For now, you can take it like, it's fine if you just remember that I just become a child of Amma. I just become the child of Devi. So Devi's child is as powerful as Devi. Devi's child is Devi. So that's why Murugha has really great power, because he is Devi's son. Devi's son is powerful, as powerful as Devi. So any minute we remember Devi with this nature, then we go beyond Maya and we'll be ever blissful. So whenever we are chanting Lalita Sahasranama or learning Lalita Sahasranama, any of the Nama, we should immediately remember, oh, I am praying, I am remembering Devi. So that very moment, we'll be able to get eternal bliss. We'll go beyond all dukkham, whatever dukkham is there with us at that time, we'll be able to go beyond it immediately. So may Amma bless us so that we may become a child sitting in the lap of Amma, forgetting all the sorrows of the world and ever rejoicing in Anandam. We'll continue in the next day, I'm sure.